right. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight back into 2 Kings, and we'll be reading from chapter 18. We'll get right at it. We left off with that beautiful, perfect heart from God that the Lord gave to Hezekiah. And, you know, as you just see the divine foreknowledge of God in all of these kings, all of that truth, all of that grace, all of that mercy, all of that faithfulness was there for every king. We know that. For every child of God, it's all there. For every person, the Lord said, I would that all men be saved. Isn't that something? And that's how he loved. That's our brother prayed. That great love that didn't just take him to the cross. He went to the cross. It was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. So all of that love is there. And into the very height of this ruling and reigning love that we rejoice in, that God has graced us, as Sister Darcy was saying, how could you not see it? Only by the Spirit. And I thank the Lord that, you know, God has graced us. And he will have mercy upon whom he'll have mercy. He'll be gracious to whom he'll be gracious, brothers and sisters. And it wasn't that the Lord chose some and didn't choose others. It was there for all men. But the foreknowledge of God then did predestinate. And from that predestination, he did choose. Yes, he did. And he chose you. Isn't that wonderful? And whom he chose, he predestinated. And whom he predestinated, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. And that's what we're thanking the Lord for, that we're coming in to that absolute enlightened eyes of understanding of what he's already done. Praise the Lord with what he's already given. Amen. And now, praise God, we're walking right into it. Hallelujah. Understanding to the fullest what we have been apprehended by all of this time. And now we are apprehending him. Praise God. But let's read from 2 Kings chapter 18. And we'll go ahead and start reading from verse 5, where we left off. That's 2 Kings 8, chapter 18, verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God. Praise God. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. I emphasized last week, and I wanted to emphasize that again. You'll see the difference in Josiah. It doesn't bring out the kings of Israel, and it doesn't bring out Judah. It just calls him the king, and no king was like him in that heart that he had for God, showing a little bit of the difference as we'll get into these as far as the Old Testament full overcomers and the New Testament full overcomers. And we'll take a few nights and we'll be able to go through those things if the Lord tarry and God willing. But this is so precious because he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord. See, there was something different. We're going to get into these things. But he trusted, but it was because his trust became that he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. So all that truth that was there for him, he never left. He took it. He loved it. He trusted in it like no other king. Praise God. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now, as we get into this tonight, what this heart that God gave to Hezekiah is revealing to us right off the bat are three qualities or three attributes of the full overcomer and the full overcomer's perfect heart for God. And number one jumps right out at us is he trusted in the Lord. Now, when you read about these kings, many of them, it says they turned to God. Some of them says that they sought the Lord at times. But this wasn't saying that he turned or he sought from time to time. He trusted in the Lord. This was constant. This didn't mean he was a perfect man. This didn't mean he made mistakes, because he did, and we're going to read about some of them as well too. But the constant was that no matter what season he was in, he was trusting God. He trusted that word. He knew that the Lord was merciful. He knew that the Lord was for him. And I guess I'll kind of hint into some of these things as well too. We know that the Lord can reveal those things, but this was right off the bat with this man. As we get into this king, we're going to understand he probably had as wicked a dad as any other king that was there. Same with Josiah. They had a wicked dad. So that has to give you maybe a little bit of a hint. There had to be maybe something else. And it's usually a mom. And God willing, we'll probably talk about a mom next week. And this precious brother's mom. But that was the encouragement and the faithfulness of God. Is he didn't have to go that way. And the Lord gave the more grace for Hezekiah to not only not have a heart that was wicked, but he had a heart like none other that trusted God. It was a constant. There wasn't anything getting between that. Now, what that word trust means, it means confident, secure, and hope. Brothers and sisters, I pray that God has given us the grace that we have taken hold of, that we believe the word of God, and that God will do it. Amen. That God is a performer of what he says. God just doesn't say things that we really believe that his promises are true, that they are yea and amen, that it is impossible for our God to lie, that his word is unfailing, praise God, and this word is every breath of our life. And truly, as the word of God says, our life that we live now is by the faith of the Son of God. And we know what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith and our life and our living, everything about us, is the word of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that, because there's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more loving. There's nothing more joyous. There's nothing more peaceful. There's nothing that has more rest. There's nothing that has anything that's even close to it. Because nothing compares, and that's our life. Think of that. That is our life. That is the grace of God that is for us. So I believe, brothers and sisters, that we come together and we believe the word of God performs everything that it says that it will. Amen? Amen. Well, then I believe we trust God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I thank God that I believe that he's given us an unction, that it's not a time to a moment-to-moment thing. It's not, well, I need to seek him for this thing. It's constant. There's a constant fellowship with the Lord. You're not even thinking things that with anything that jumps into your head. There's still the connection with the word of God. Whether you see something to praise him about, or whether you're thinking of something you shouldn't be thinking about, and you say, oh, Lord, help me. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. I love you. But when you trust him, and when you really, really, I mean, just are confident in him, then how we heard that over the years, put your confidence. But this is what this was saying here, is that after him was none like him that trusted God among the kings, nor any before him trusted God like any of the kings. And the reason was because he clave to the Lord. Now, this is so wonderful. This is when you really trust the fullness of the backing of the Lord in everything in your life. And you're going to find this out about Hezekiah, because there's, as we get into his life a little bit more in detail, and the Lord, I know, will take bits and pieces, because just God's faithfulness all throughout that lineage of those kings, it's because of what he promised to David and to David's lineage. It wasn't going away. No matter how bad, how rotten, how awful, God made a promise. Now, you can say that about your life. No matter how bad, how awful, how rotten, he said, I'm going to perform the good work which I've begun in you. I believe my Lord like that. See, that causes me to stop. That causes my heart to ache. It causes it to break. It causes me to do things that I don't want to do. But then I want to do. Because he wills and does of his good pleasure in my heart. That's when you know it's God and it's not you. And I thank the Lord for that. That's where I've said it recently. If you're not surprised in your life about what the Lord is doing in you, you're not living the fullness of the Lord. And that's the truth. And trust him. Step out in faith. Let him change you from glory to glory. Don't just be complacent about you and thinking you're just fine. He's more than fine. So let him have you. And it is a ride, and we all know it is. But it says here that he clave to the Lord. Now, this is such a beautiful word, and there's many things that it means. It means glued. Do you like to be glued to Jesus? We're one with him, aren't we? We're glued. Praise God. And I know all of us have said, Lord, you're just sticking so tight to me, I can't breathe. You know, or you say, you know, him about him pursuing you. You're always in season because he loves you. When you're in love, you just can't have enough. And that's him. He cannot deny himself you. And that's the truth. He cannot deny himself. And he's been waiting before the foundation of the world because he saw you in love. Think of that. He saw whom he, the lover, he saw his lover in ages past. He saw that one, and all he's been doing for eternity is waiting for her to come forth. Now you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this is a long time waiting. This wasn't Jacob's, you know, 14 years, you know, seven, then seven. This is a long time. And that's our God and how he loves us. But then it even gets better in the meanings. It means joined together, and then it means cause to reach. And if you want your trust to really grow and be first love trust, that's when you cleave to the Lord. There just isn't anything else. And I thank the Lord because of his grace tonight. You know this. This actually kind of explains your life. You say, yeah, that's right. But that's the word of God because it is your life. It does explain your life. It tells you who you are. It helps us find out why a lot of times we're feeling the way we are and how we're responding to things the way we are. It's all in the word because the word is in us. That is our life. Jesus Christ is your life. And by the way, he's the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what I thank God for. And that is the hope and the rejoicing and the thankfulness and the inspiration that I have day by day and moment by moment. Lord, I know you will do it. Praise God. Praise God. He can't help himself again. We are now the sons of God. Now let's listen to those meanings again and how bridal this language is, because it's the same language for ones wearing the crown of the Old Testament overcomers or the New Testament overcomers. So this, that he clave to the Lord, it means joined together. Go on over to Romans 8:17. This is a verse we read time and time and time again, because it's not just a verse, it's the reality of our life. It's our calling. It's our hope. It's our breath. It's our aspiration. It's our crown. And what it says there, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs. You talk about joined together. There's nothing more close or more joined together than a joint heir, a husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Praise God. That we might be glorified together with him. And yes, it does come through those sufferings. And we understand that, brothers and sisters. But we thank the Lord. He takes care of all of that. I don't have to intentionally go trying to find how am I going to suffer. Matter of fact, I don't want to try. How am I going to suffer? Sometimes I get myself into my own how I'm going to suffer. And the Lord is faithful even in that. That he causes me to suffer together with him. Amen? Yeah. Let me tell you something. When the Lord is with you, he's suffering and you're suffering together with him. Don't ever think not of that. And I mean that. When David said he's there and I found him there when I made my bed in hell. Let me tell you something. That enlightenment, that knowing, David at that moment knew that the Lord was suffering together and he was suffering together with him. It was glorious. And you thank God for this. And that's why in this respect, you talk about joined together. He's in everything in your life. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's not just with you when you think you're doing good. He doesn't leave you when you think that you've just failed completely. Matter of fact, he's honing up to you like never before when you're in your deepest trial. He's right there to pluck your feet out of the net. He's right there, praise God, when you've come to that end. And you know what I'm saying. That's when he reveals himself to you like he never has. Because finally, he's been able to appoint you to a place that he stripped you of all your strength, all your goodness, all your faithfulness. And you're finally seeing he's the only faithful one. And you just say, Lord Jesus, thank you. I get this. This is your work. You do love me. You will take me on. You're not going to leave me or forsake me. You're going to perform the good work which you have begun in me. And I believe that because my steps are those before ordained good works that you should walk therein. And I thank God we can believe him. That grace is there for each and every one of us to believe him. So there's your joined together. But now we haven't gone to the last one. Cause to reach. We'll go on over to Philippians chapter 3. See, this is when you cleave to the Lord. It's joined you together. And then it causes you to reach. Isn't that something? And it's just perfect. See, these are the things that were written for us. This wasn't just a story about a king. This was a story about us. The kings to the Lord. The ones that will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. This is what is built in her life. This is the grace of God in full power in her life. She trusts in the Lord. And she cleaves to him. He's everything. There isn't a moment we don't trust him. It's not that there's not a moment that I'm always faithful or a moment that I'm not going to make a mistake, but there's something about the faithfulness of God that brings us about immediately, Lord, I'm still going to trust you. You've already made the way of escape for this. Do you believe it? Or is it just some, you know, just a perfect life that you've walked and he only makes the way of escape out of the things where you've been yielding to God? Please don't be so self-righteous. Please don't go there. There's so many Christians, so many, and even Christians that know this depth of this gospel that are stuck right in that last little bit of the pinky fingernail. I'm going to do something. I'm a little bit better, and that's why I'm going to win. And that little bit better, and that's why you're not going to win. Only being found in his righteousness. In his righteousness. And thank him. And as that wonderful grace works in your life and you see your life changing from glory to glory, and as he delivers you from things, and he will, and he'll change the occupation of your mind, and he will. Don't go puffing yourself up. Just like Sunday. There was that king he was so gracious to. Gave him all that ability, all that strength, all of that. And then he got strong in himself. And he missed it all. See, I don't want to be one that ran well and who hath bewitched you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, saints. And it doesn't matter how far along we've gone. It doesn't matter how much I've preached the truth or how long I've preached the truth. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. We don't want to have any opportunity to lay down the crown, to have someone take our crown. Just lay hold of it and thank him for the grace of God. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, here it is, cause to reach. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. There it is. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. Oh, how wonderful. That's that excellent goal for the prize. Oh, how glory of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank him for that, that we understand, brothers and sisters, that the bride's heart of oneness with the lover of her soul cleaves to him. She's joined in matrimony to him. And she's reaching forth and she's pressing for the mark, for the prize. Brothers and sisters, that's laying aside every weight of indifference. That's not being entangled with the affairs of this life. That's honed in on him performing the good work which he's begun in us. That's honed in that, praise God, I'm seated with him right now. And not just seated with him right now, but seated where he's seated right now. Because it's with him right now. See, it's not like I'm standing before him right now. It says, listen to what the word of God says. That we are seated with him in the heavens in Christ. Well, where is that seat to you? Is it somewhere down the road seat? Or, well, it's way over there seat? Or is it on, you know what? I think I'm sitting right on his lap seat. And I'm sitting right here. And here's the Father. He's right here in the right here on the throne. And I'm sitting right here at the right hand of God because I'm seated with him. Amen. That's the only place by the grace of God I'm sitting. That's it. Because by the grace of God, it's just one seat on over. One. When he calls us home. Isn't that something? Because we're with him. We're glued with him. We're stuck with him. Amen. Made one with him. We're joined together with him. And that's what I'm reaching for. And it's not in a strength of my own, but it's in love. That's where I want to be. It's that heart of Paul that said, you know, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's better for me to depart. But I thank the Lord. We all know that. But at the same time, but it's necessary. You know, you're necessary for me. And I'm necessary for you. We're joints of this bridal body, saints. And I believe that. By the grace of God, I believe that. And there's a supplying going on. And it's vital. And I pray that those that know this message would really receive that, because that has to be part of the finishing. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the much the more, just the forsaking of it. What testimony is that, that I'm ready in any way, shape, or form for the bridegroom? It means it's lacking. It means I'm not ready. The place that I want to be, by the grace of God, is in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ with you. And that's important, in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ with you. I thank God when we can see one another in different things. But this is everything. This is it. And God protects us, doesn't he? Because you know, we start getting in our own little minds, in our own little groups, that can go a lot of different places. But we're here in Jesus' name, in the word of his grace. He's going to get it done. Amen. So, but even with all that, we got one and two. Now we got the third, number three. And without it, you'll squander the heart that he gave you. You'll squander the heart of the perfect king. That was King Solomon. You read about his life and about just all of the encouragement of the Lord in Solomon. It was amazing. There were things and ways that he, that God touched his heart that even surpassed, I really do believe, his father David. But because he departed, he got so far away that he built altars to false gods. It wasn't that he was just tolerating what his wives were talking about and things. He went that way. We'll touch on some verses here, and I think we already did, and I believe it's Hezekiah that did it. He went and had to destroy some of the altars that Solomon had constructed for false gods. Solomon. But for the grace of God, there go I. When the Lord shows you what he could do to a Nebuchadnezzar, you understand that? All of the witness, the things that God showed him, and yet he got puffed up, didn't he? And what happened to him? He found himself in a field as an animal, growing his fingernails like claws, and his hairs was like feathers. And God showed him, I'll turn you over to that. But for God, brothers and sisters, you don't have any idea. I don't have any idea where I'd be. All I know is it would be a mess. Lord, hold me in. Hold me in, praise God. And I don't say that in fear, but I know it has to be his grace that holds me in. You understand that? This isn't of our strength or our faithfulness. This isn't my mission. This is his love that draws me. And Lord, I just want to have that first love. And I don't want to fall out of this first love. But see, Hezekiah, he was rare and he was different. Only he, his father David, and Josiah, they departed not. That's what this says here in verse 5, or I should say, I think it's 6 actually, where our text is. It says there in verse 6, for he clave to the Lord, and he departed not from following him. He pursued the Lord. See, the Lord pursues us, but we pursue him. See, that's what lovers do. It's not just one-sided. They go after each other. And that's what the Lord did to his heart. He pursued the Lord. And you thank God for this. And he departed not. It wasn't a momentary thing. It wasn't just for a season. But it was a lifetime till he came in first love. Departed not means, listen to this, turning not aside, being not removed. Now here you go. Not being divorced as a spouse. Is that incredible? Not being divorced as a spouse. You read the layers of that. To not allow to have it taken away. Now let's think about what the Lord's told us. And we're going right over to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. Think of that. Departed not means not to divorce as a spouse. So here we go. Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. And you think about the letter to the Ephesians, the high water mark of the word of God. This is the people that we're speaking of here. These people, you talk about running well, these are the ones that were on for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This was it. And he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holds the 7 stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake that you've labored and you haven't fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast divorced, that's what that word left means, thy first love. God forbid that would be us. Amen. But see, that's the departing not. That was the difference of the perfect heart kings. And that's the difference. It wasn't something that you just got introduced to. and said, well, that's great. I can tell you and recite to you the bridal message. I can tell you scriptures. I can tell you these things. But that's here. He's marrying here. The heart. And he's given us a heart to love him. And you do. That you just thank him. You thank him. You've come to the realization of how he's apprehending you as this bride. And your heart, I pray, is ravished. And then you apprehend him back as a spouse. And it's because you say, yes, I believe you, Lord. Your love has caused me to believe you. I know your love in this truth because the Holy Spirit has made it real to my heart. He's made my heart to see it. That there was more, that there is more, and that there isn't anything else. And I don't want to depart from it. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to be ones that, as it said here, the two meanings, it means to not divorce as a spouse and not allow to take away. I want to be like the Church of Philadelphia. Turn the page to chapter 3 of Revelation. Here's the difference between Ephesus and the Church of Philadelphia. And you read there, as it says in, well, I'll just read it from verse 10 for the Church of Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia, thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So see, that love, that first love, he's going to keep her from even going into the tribulation. This is the first rapture company. Praise God. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Again, encouraging us. It's not going to be long. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. No matter how we cut it, brothers and sisters, this life ain't long. Sometimes it feels that way, but it's not. Not when it's compared with this glory. Now, remember we talked about his love. It's been waiting a long time, hasn't it? He's seen us in love since when? Beginning. In love. And he's been waiting for that. I don't know. Maybe some of us got 100 years. I don't know. But that still ain't long compared to how long beginning was. You think? He says, behold, I come quickly. And here you go. See, here it is. Not allowed to take away. Hold that fast which thou hast. Don't let it be taken away, your crown. Isn't that glorious? Those are three attributes that are mandatory. They have to be present. They have to be evident. And it's not something that we can manufacture. It's not something that in our strength. It's in God's grace. And it's in his mercy. And the thing is he's given you that treasure. Isn't that beautiful? You have it. And all it is just to be this sweet-smelling sacrifice of thanksgiving to him, just to say, thank you, Lord. You know, don't let it turn into something where I've got to be a better person or I got to work harder or I got to do something. Let me tell you something. That wonderful grace, it'll make you a more lovely person. You will love. You will become Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's the greatest evidence, brothers and sisters. It's loving. And I thank God that I'm in the presence of that. And it is a blessing. See what time we have here. I'll touch on this just a bit and we'll go into it a little bit more. But the result of these things, this is what's very precious. Going back over here, and I'll just touch on it. And a lot to chew on tonight. Just one little verse. It's all there, isn't it? Isn't that how the Word of God does it for us? So beautiful. But the result of knowing and see, it's really, as Brother Hill used to bring out all the time, know, reckon, yield, right? And that's the same thing in a way as, you know, trusting, cleaving, don't depart. It's all that same wonderful oneness of that first love. But in verse 7, here is the result of that. It says, and the Lord was with him. And he prospered where thersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now, this king, when it says he prospered, there are things that God did for him that were very, very precious. First of all, not one thing was done about repairing the doors of the temple. Basically, it was just in shambles. The priests were run out. A lot of the priests were killed. And Hezekiah, the Lord had him to prosper, to be an encouragement to the people of God. The Lord's prospered you in that. That's the greatest prospering I think any of us could ever have, is to be the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. That's what a wife does. She encourages her husband. She reverences her husband. She helps her husband to be, in a sense, the man that he needs to be or could be or whatever. If you think about what we do for the Lord, he can't take the throne as God without his wife. So truly, with our taking the grace of God, which is freely given, and changing from glory to glory into his very image, and becoming the wife for the Lamb of God, we're actually adding to the usefulness of the husband that he's going to take the throne as God. Now, if that ain't grace, I don't know what grace is. You know what I'm saying? If that isn't mercy, but it truly is. That usefulness. But then the usefulness that as his readied wife, we can be fruitful. And as he loves, and that intimacy of love, we're talking about, and not to make anybody embarrassed here, but the word of God speaks of knowing as the intercourse. And as that most intimate of knowledge of our Lord in a spiritual sense, we become fruitful. And we become so fruitful, praise be to God, that we teem with this wonderful supplying that only the Lord can give us, that we supply the joints of the body. All from the head, he's the one that gives us anything that we could ever supply. But it's because of that grace that we took that we are fruitful for him. So this precious king, because of those precious three qualities, it prospered him in everything. It prospered him in encouraging the saints, encouraging this incredible turn to the Lord of the people of God. Thank you, Jesus. And then he prospered in war. We'll get to this king of Assyria here pretty quick, but it was so sweet because this king of Assyria was the greatest king in the world at this time, and he had soldiers just plenty. But it was so beautiful because the Lord encouraged the 13th. Remember, he's the 13th king. Number 13 is the rebel. It means rebellion. He rebelled, and he rebelled against this king. He said, no, I'm not going to serve you. I don't care how much power you have, and I don't care what you're going to do. And the thing about Hezekiah is he always sought the word of God. And there was a prophet named Isaiah. And he went to the prophet. He had the prophet to encourage and to pray. How do we address this? How do we fight this? And the prophet told him, the Lord's given you the battle. 200,000 of those Assyrian soldiers go out there, just about 200,000 of them. You know what? I'll tell you, when that angel of the Lord shows up, you're in trouble. In one swoop, 200,000 of them were dead. And that king said, well, I think we better go. And that's how he protected Hezekiah. So he prospered him in war, and he didn't even have to go out to fight a battle. Isn't that something? Put the singers in the front. Let's win this thing. You know, actually what happens is they shouted. See, that's the praise of Judah. You're in trouble? Start praising the Lord. You need help? Call out on the name of Jesus. I thank God I heard it in my home. I can recall a couple times my mother running around the house praising God, and my sister and I looking at each other wondering, what happened to Mom? And then I saw what was going on in our house. And there was a problem, but that problem shortly left. Thank you, Jesus. A couple other things I just say. Hezekiah He prospered. He was healed. Now, I'm not going to say that if the Lord decided to take you home with something he gives you, I'll tell you what, you definitely got healed. You got the greatest healing there could ever be. But by his stripes, we are healed. And Hezekiah, as we'll read about him, he sought the Lord about something, and the Lord gave him that it was going to kill him. And the Lord gave him extra years. And then finally, it was sweet. And I think it was the sweetest, that the Lord prospered him in failure. Has the Lord prospered you in failure? Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't know that the Lord's prospered you in failure, you don't know the Lord. But he did. He made a big mistake. And he got proud, is really what happened. You know, sometimes, you know, when the Lord's just so good to you, sadly, it can go to our head. But the Lord's got a way, like we talked about on Sunday. You know what? He'll allow Satan to buffet you. And that's not going to happen because you're too valuable to him. And he'll prosper you always. Just cleave to him. Don't worry about your life. You know that thing that says you're in good hands? You're in good hands. Matter of fact, the hands of the master that makes the masterpiece. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.